Thank you, Lord. Thank you, worship team. Amen, amen, amen. I told my wife, I was like, I'm excited for worship today. I pray that it is anointed by God, right? A lot of times you show up. God's always here. You show up, but you don't always know what's going to happen. But I'm very thankful. I just feel the presence of God this morning. Thank you for leading us in his presence with worship, with instruments. Amen, amen. Thank you, tech team, as well, for everything you do up there and everyone else involved. Some of you weren't here before, so welcome to First Open Bible. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Amen. Amen. Me too. I'm glad you decided to join us this morning for worship. My name is Pastor Harris, and I am the lead pastor. I want to say a few things before I introduce our special guest this morning. First, I want to thank everybody for the awesome birthday party yesterday that I had. I was not looking forward to turning 40 yesterday. I was very, very much dreading it. And I know, hopefully you know, because we've been announcing it for a while, and it's also on Facebook. We did it here, too. You were all invited, so thank you for everyone who came. I want to thank everybody for the cards, the kind words, the gifts, and I want to thank my wife for blessing me. It was a blessing. Yeah. I got so many blessings. A 6'4" and a half blessing came. He's been here since Thursday, and he's leaving today. One of my childhood best friends, Mark. He's if you're wondering, he's the tall, bald guy in the front. Stand by me. He's been an absolute blessing. We've stayed up. I am so tired. We stayed up two nights ago till about 1:30. Last night was 12:30, and I wouldn't change it for the world. That's why God invented naps. Hallelujah. It's Sunday. Get some food. Get a nap. Glory to God. Amen. Right? I'm so thankful. I got a cool bike, right? This e-bike, right? It's the one bike you can ride and get fatter on. Praise God. Because it's got an electric motor, and you're like, man, I went 21 in our parking lot. Kids, don't listen. I'm sorry. Yeah. Cut that out somehow on the thing. But it's crazy. It's so fun. I was absolutely blessed. So I want to thank you, everyone that was blessing me. It's just a blessing and an honor to be your pastor. I'm so thankful to be here. Like I said, I wasn't looking forward to being 40, but I couldn't ask for a better week. It was just awesome. And then the party yesterday, things that I love, right? We had root beer floats. Yes. I literally got this right here because I used to drink root beer floats every night before I went to bed because I love them so much, right? I just love them. And so, but we had root beer floats. We had a candy bar, right? You got to walk through and you get a bag of candy as you leave and you just get to pick. I love candy. We took pictures. It's like a little Polaroid and you write your name on it. There's all this stuff from 1982 and there's a slideshow and there's music. And I know lots of people put a lot of time into that. My wife bought me a special gift, a bike, an e-bike that I get to now ride and have fun. And man, I haven't smiled like that in a while. And it's just wonderful. And then my friend coming. It's just what a blessing. I just want to thank you from here for everything that you guys have done, everything that you're a part of, and what a blessing it was. Thank you so much for everything. I love you. I do. I love you. Thank you so much. I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to be anywhere else. So thankfully in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But about January, mid-January, there's other places I'd rather be, but I love you. I love you. I love you. I'm following God's call, even if it's in the middle of 10 degrees and freezing cold, negative 20 out and snow. You know what I'm saying, right? Right? Everybody hate the snow? Anybody? No? Okay, right? Why do you hate the snow? You've lived in Iowa this long, you can move. You know that, right? Okay. Praise God. Anyway, I want to just speak about our special speaker today. A lot of you know who he is. His name's Ken Gobb. He's been a blessing. This guy is hilarious. He has so many stories, so many incredible things. I'm going to read a bio. I had to cut it down because his bio is so huge because he's got so many things in so many places, right? Right? I think we're going to carry you up here. I don't know. Just playing. No, he is an absolute blessing to so many. Let me read a little bit about him before we welcome him. His name's Ken Gobb. He's been in ministry of helping people most of his adult life. He began by pastoring a mountain church in Kentucky for 2 years. Then he took his musical family across America, traveling for over 65 years. As his organization began to grow worldwide, His main office is in Yakima, Washington. I can say that because I grew up on the West Coast and I've heard it before. Most people are like, what does that say? Right, Yakima, right? Sounds like somebody's puking. Okay, Yakima, okay. Hallelujah. I have the mic. I'm sorry. You're going to get it soon. You tell the jokes after me. He's incorporated both the United States and in Canada. He's traveled over 10 million miles, over 115 foreign countries, and has taken over 150 trips to Israel. He speaks before diverse crowds, such as colleges, high schools, universities, conventions, prisons. Some of those are all the same. Just joking. Music festivals, state and county fairs, some of the world's largest churches, and even at the Pentagon. Ken has helped many rise above their unpleasant situations and learn to completely trust and turn their lives around in the Lord. In person and on radio and on television, Ken motivates people to be more than an average person and more than be very unusual. He has a very unusual and humorous style to the way he does things, but he helps and motivates many people. Ken has released many items such as DVDs, CDs, and books. You'll see that on your way out, maybe you saw on your way in. He'll actually be there after service if you would like to purchase anything or talk about any of this stuff that he has. And a lot of this is talking about attitudes and how it affects your life, relationships, both in personal and business as well. Ken has received numerous awards from the government officials in several countries as well, and in the United States. Ken's quest for answers to many complex questions, combined with his unusual experience and humor, makes him a dynamic, sought-after speaker all over the entire world. Listening to Ken Gobb is an experience, if you want it or not, that you will remember forever. Amen. Will you please welcome Ken Gobb as he comes?
All right, I want everybody to stand up for a moment. Everybody. God is good. How many believe that? Wow. Good to be back here. And it's got a little warmer since the last time I was here. It was so cold, colder than a mother-in-law's heart. Didn't mean that. Mother-in-laws are like seeds. You don't need them, but they come as a tomato. But anyway... It was cold last time I was here. What a time. But it got warmed up a little bit, so I'm glad I'm back. But before you sit down, I want you to turn to two people, just two. Look them in the eye and say, God is in this place and he's going to help you today. Turn to two people. Well, God's good. Amen? You know, we all do dumb things. How many ever did dumb things? Six people. I like this church. It's a good church. I had a branch on my office building that was making a noise on the roof when the wind blew, where my warehouse is. And so I had my daughter get somebody put a ladder up. Well, I got up on the ladder. They wanted $500 to cut that branch off. I said, I'll cut it off myself. Save the money. I got up there and the ladder fell over. So now I had no ladder. So, well, I'll call him on my cell phone. I took it out of my pocket and it fell out of my hand and slid down the roof and off on the ground. Now I got no ladder, nobody around. I said, well, let's see. I think I could jump if I do it right. I jumped 18 feet. I hit my ankle. It's still sore. Doctor said it's not broken, but it might have been better if it was. But anyway, I hurt my ankle really bad. But it's getting better. And then I came back from Israel, just got back two nights ago. Had a great time for the first tour group in there again after 2 years of waiting. And we went out to eat, and I ate some hot sauce. Boy, they had sauce. I don't know where they picked that up. Tore my throat up. And then Pastor Mark picked me up, and he's a pretty good driver. He scared me a little bit, but we had a good time of fellowship. And the last night we went out with Chuck and Sharon, pastors. I'm just glad to be back at this church. I love you people, and I know the Lord's good. But I got to tell you, God is a big God, and he cares about us. Amen? And I went to, you know, TSA at the airport. Are you acquainted with that? TSA, take scissors again. And so I went there in Seattle. I go out of Seattle a lot. And the guy said, did anybody put anything in your luggage that you don't know about? I said, I'm only qualified to answer intelligent questions. That's a stupid question. If I don't know about it, how can I answer you? He said, you're right, forget that. I said, okay. He said, have you been around anybody with COVID-19? I said, I don't even know about COVID-18. And two other guys came over, and they were trying to figure me out. And I said, I'm not a doctor. I don't know who's got what. I don't go around checking people. How would I know about that? That's a stupid question, too. He said, it is. Just forget it. He said, have you been tested? I said, yes. He said, when did you get tested? I said, yesterday. Very good. He said, how did it come out? I said, I tested positive. Two other guys came over and said, why are you flying to Ohio if you tested positive? I said, now that's an intelligent question. I can answer that. It is quicker than walking. She hadn't answered stuff like that. And the guy said, where did you get tested? I said, I tested myself. One guy said, you can't do that. I said, I did. He said, how'd you test yourself? I said, I opened the Bible and I read that I'm created in the image of God. And God is a positive personality. He doesn't do anything negative. So when he made me positive, and I test positive, and my friends test positive, and that's the way it is. He said, just go on through. So I went on, and another guy came in and said, who was that guy? They said, oh, he comes through Seattle all the time. He's an 11 million mile flyer with United Airlines, and he's here all the time, and he's different. He said, but he tested positive. And this TSA man, I love this. He said, well, we all tested positive. We're made in the image of God, and God's a positive personality, and we all test positive. How many test positive this morning? Amen. I tell you what, I had more fun talking to them guys. I have a lot of fun winning people to Christ. I think it's wonderful. I gave an altar call. And I just, at a big convention, I wasn't part of the convention. I was just a speaker there. And they had 49,000 people in the stadium. And I got to preach. It was really good. And I said, while every head's raised and every eye's open, I want you to get out of your seat and come down here and give your life to Christ. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer with you. Some of you go to church, but you're going to hell, and you need Jesus. And I said, if you ain't got enough guts to get out of your seat at this convention, at a business, this is not a church service, it's a business convention. But if you ain't got enough guts to get out of your seat and come down here and give your life to Christ, then just sit down in your seat and go to hell. And some young people said, we like him. He's to the point. Well, they ain't going nowhere else. You ain't going to Chicago. It's heaven or hell. Isn't that true? So I just have fun leading people to Christ and winning people and seeing people get saved. I think that's wonderful. We live in serious times right now. We border on nuclear war right now. We all know that. And then they found out the Ukraine has nuclear weapons that can level Russia. And Russia will do the same. And we live on that kind of thing right now. So I want to talk this morning about changing our future now. God loved us. How many thank God for that? Love is a wonderful thing. God said in His Word, for God so loved who? That He gave His only, He gave His only Son. He didn't have 10, He had one. And He gave, and He died in our stead. And I thank God for that. We got a lot to thank God for. We got a lot to learn. I'm learning a lot. My wife passed away a little over a year ago, and I'm learning how to do everything in the house. I can't even make coffee. I had the worst time, everything. I couldn't, I washed the sheets. I had to do it twice because I didn't use soap the first time. You have to have soap. And so I called my daughter and said, the sheets are 2 foot too short. They shrunk. She said, no, you got them on sideways. So I finally got them on. I got them tucked in and the other side came out. You ever do that? And then I tucked that in and this side came out. I called my daughter and I said, do I nail one side down till I get the other side nailed in or something? How do you do this? So I'm learning all that kind of stuff. And then my daughter came over and she was upset because she looked in the dishwasher and there was all kinds of food in there. She said, did you wash the dishes before you put them in there? I said, no. She said, you're supposed to wash them. I said, then why do we have a dishwasher? She said, you have to wash the dishes first. I said, that is crazy. You know, there's a lot of crazy things in there. So I'm learning how to do all this. I've learned how to cook. I had a chicken salad in the fridge, so I took it out and I put it in the microwave, and the chicken got warm and the salad blew up. And it was, I'm learning how to do that stuff. So I'm learning how to do all that since my wife passed away. But we have to change our future. If we don't change our future, fake news will change it for you. You know about that. They're spreading fear every day. We know that. If you want something you've never had, you may have to do something you've never done. So you have to think about that. Isn't that true? And I'm learning that. You know, if you want the best in life, you can't keep talking about the worst. If you want sunshine, you can't keep talking about storms. Amen? You have to talk about good stuff. My wife passed away. We faced a lot of things. The devil whispered in my ear one day and said, with what you're going through, with your wife gone after almost 7 decades of marriage, said, with all of this that's happening, you're not strong enough to withstand the storm. I said, devil, you get behind me. I am the storm. Amen. I have victory. God gave us victory. You know, when I think about the future and about Jesus taking us home, when we close our eyes on earth, in a split second, we open them in heaven. Isn't that something? There's no death for us. How many thank God for that? See, Jesus conquered that already. So I thank God for that. So I think what we have to do, if we want the love of God working through our life, we have to put God first in our life. In everything we do, seek the Lord first and His righteousness. And the Bible said, all these other things will be added unto you. What's he talking about? What other things? All kinds of things. Spiritual, physical, emotional, financial. Things will be added unto you. Amen? We have to put God first. When you get involved with God, God's going to get involved with you. Hallelujah. And we can believe God. And now, everybody knows in my life that I wrote some books, and my book, God's Got Your Number, talks about why I've always used a white Bible my whole life. This morning, for the first time, I have a black Bible. I just was in Israel, and we awarded my guide, Dove Friedman, we awarded him an Eagles Award and a special plaque of being my guide as a brigadier general in Israel for 45 years. And he said to the people at our banquet, we had government officials there, and he said, I have never given Ken anything, but he said, I have a guidebook, and this was his personal guidebook, this Bible. He said, and rather than give it to my kids, I want to give it to Ken. And it has all kinds of notes in it. And he found the Lord, and his wife Rena found the Lord through our ministry. And he gave me his Bible. And he said, I hope that he will speak out of it at least once before he goes back to a white Bible. And so this morning, for the first time, I have this black Bible. It really touched me when he gave me this. Everybody really cried. But I'm reading in Philippians chapter 4, if you have a Bible. And in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, you can't figure it out, passes everything, will keep your what? Hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then the Bible said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, does your Bible say that? Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are what? Honest, whatsoever things of good report, all those kind of things. What does it say? What are we supposed to do? What's that? Think on these things. You're never going to find these positive things on CNN, Chicken Noodle News. You're never going to find it on television. They're spreading fear every day. All they talk about is fear. I don't want to get political this morning, but one of our leaders said that they've traced the China virus and it came from China. Just like the masks that we wore, they came from China too. And so they never talk faith, they talk negative stuff. Whatsoever things are true and honest and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, the Bible said, think on these things. I like to think about good stuff. Say good stuff. I want to think about the good stuff that the Bible's talking about here, because David said in the Psalms, the Lord is on my side. And I thank God for that. He told Joshua, stand still, don't do anything. I'll take care of everything for you. I will fight your battles. The God that made this universe. Wow, that's something, that he's going to fight your battles. We don't have to worry. We have actually nothing to worry about. How many know that? You say the world's in a mess. I know that. But Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. I was with some of the top rabbis in Israel the other day, and you know what they say? We hear the footsteps of the coming Messiah. Hallelujah! That ought to get us excited if the Jews that don't even believe in Jesus hear the footsteps of the coming Messiah. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. We ought to be excited. The Bible said David encouraged himself. Did you ever encourage yourself? I've done that. Encourage yourself, Lord. One day I got a letter. It was the greatest letter I ever got. It talked about all my good points. It never mentioned anything bad about me. It said I was a soul winner, that I was a giver, that I did all kinds of good things to help people and all of that. And I read it to my wife. And my wife said, who wrote that letter? There was no bad stuff in there. It was full of good stuff. She said, who wrote that letter? I said, I did. And this is true. I found the letter just the other day. I wrote the letter to myself and I mailed it. I actually mailed it. I couldn't wait to get it, because I knew it was a good letter. It was good stuff. It talked about good stuff because I wrote it. Why would I write anything bad? I know I'm not perfect, but I leave that all out. Forget that. Just write the good stuff. So I was thinking about whatsoever things are true and honest and of good report and virtue. Think on these things. So that's what I did. Wrote myself a letter. I found it the other day. I said, man, here's that letter yet. Postmarked. Took a week to get it. I couldn't hardly wait. Go home and write yourself a letter today and mail it here in Cedar Rapids. And when you get it, it'll be a good letter. You know it will not be bad at all. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And how many believe we have to do that? We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord and say, I'm going to put God first in my life because that's important in our life. The Lord's on our side. I believe God's trying to help us. He ain't trying to kill us. He's trying to help us. Isn't that true? My dad and mom were different. My dad was a nightclub entertainer. My mother was a dancer. That's how they met. And it so happened that my mom would say to me, God's going to use you in ministry. I said, I am not going to be in ministry. From the time I was 5 years old, I was 17. Of over 10 years of my life, I never planned to be in ministry. And I planned other stuff. And I didn't want to be a preacher. My dad said, if you don't get saved, God's going to kill you. He was just rough. One day, lightning hit my watch and knocked me off the tractor. I was living in Iowa at that time, around Mason City. And knocked me off the tractor, and I said, Dad, lightning hit my watch. He said, I told you God's going to kill you. Said, probably by Saturday. You know, so that's the reason I went to Bible school when I wasn't a Christian. But anyway, it's a long story. But God is so good. And we have to learn that God's love touches our life. Some of you that are older will remember the name Wilma Rudolph. She was born in poverty in the south part of America. She lived in a terrible shack of a house. She had double pneumonia, scarlet fever, and was paralyzed with polio. They put braces on her legs, and the doctor said to her mother, she will never walk again. Wilma will never walk again, ever in her life. But her mother had God's love in her heart. And her mother said, she will walk again because I'm believing God for her. Thank God for parents that will encourage their kids. You that have kids, you need to tell them you will be successful if you put God first in your life. If you put God first in your life, He will make you a success. He will close the doors you're not to go through and open the doors you need to go through. He will protect you. He will take care of you. He will make you a positive force in the negative world. Amen? So, Wilma's mom did that kind of stuff. She had God's love, and she encouraged her daughter. At 9 years old, they went to the doctor and took those braces off. Wilma fell down on the floor. She couldn't walk. And she was just in terrible. They used crutches and everything to help her get up, and she had to live that way. Her mom said she will walk again. I'm believing for her to have victory in her life. Thank God for a mom like that. Amen. How many got a praying mother? Some of you do, and that was good. I had a praying mom. She prayed for me. And so when Dad was trying to kill me, she prayed for me. But anyway, it was so exciting. But anyway, the thing is that Wilma, when she was 13 years old, she ran a race in her hometown. This is so crazy. They saw her in the race. The race was actually over, and the person that won already got the prize, and Wilma was still out there with crutches coming around. It was too late. But you know what? She finished. You know what she said when she got through the race with her crutches? People said, why are they letting that crippled girl walk like that? She can't run a race. Why is she like that? Why do they let her in crutches out there trying to win a race? She can't even run. And Wilma kept going, and she came in, and you know what she said when she got in, when the thing was all over? She said, I finished. I didn't win, but I finished. That's the bottom line, is to finish the course. To have God's love in your heart to lead you on to finish the course. When she was 15 years old, they had another race in her town. A lot of crippled people in it. And Wilma won the race. in her hometown. She fell down many times, but she got up and kept going. And she told the coach, I want to be the fastest running woman in the world. The coach said, well, Wilma, you can't walk good. You can't do that. She said, well, nothing can stop me now. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Everybody knows that in 1960, when they had the Olympic races, Wilma's name was on every newspaper in the entire world. She was on radio. People knew her name. Wilma Rudolph, they knew her name everywhere. Because in 1960, she won the Olympic race and was listed as the fastest running woman in the entire world. Hallelujah. I tell you, you can have a miracle. How many believe that? But we have to think about the good stuff. We have to think about the good things. I found that true in my own life. You know, you don't compromise your principles. You stand for what you believe in. Some people don't believe in nothing. There's negative people all the time. I talked to an atheist the other day. He didn't believe in nothing. I said, you think God knows you don't believe in him? He said, I'm not sure. I had fun talking to him. I just messed with his mind. I love doing that anyway. I said to him, if a vehicle was flying at the speed of light and you turned the lights on, would they work? He said, I don't know. I said, if you were writing with invisible ink, how could you tell when you ran out? He said, I don't know. He didn't know nothing. I said, what do they call a male ladybug? He didn't know. Then I said, do you think God knows you don't believe in him? He said, I don't know. I tell you, God is a big God. And he wants his love to flow through our life to bless other people. Amen? Every day when I get up, I say, I'm going to bless somebody. I'm going to encourage somebody. I'm going to give some. I've done this for years. I used to never tell it. My pastor said, don't worry about people thinking you're bragging. Just tell it. And the thing is, every day I give something away. Buy somebody a cup of coffee. Do something and give something away. There's always something to do. I was on the airplane, and the pilot said, ladies and gentlemen, we're flying from Seattle to Denver, said, we have an unusual situation here on the plane today. We have Ken Gobb upgraded to first class, sitting in 1B. And at that time, I was a 9-million-mile flyer. And he said, he's a 9-million-mile flyer. And we got an 80-year-old man back in 16B, and he's never flown in his life. It's his first flight. So I went back to see him. And I said, come up to the front. I want to show you something. He came up. I said, sit down in his seat. I said, just stay there. So he sat down. I went back and sat in his seat. Well, he has a flight attendant said, is this for, like, first class? She said, yeah. He said, well, who was that guy that put me up here? She said, well, he does stuff like that. It was all about soul winning to me. And so when we were going on the flight, I went up to visit him, and he was eating a good meal sitting in my seat. And so he said, are you eating back there? I said, yeah, I'm sitting between two heavy people. And I'm eating pretzels. I'm eating them like this, you know. These people are hanging over on both sides of the seat. And I'm eating pretzels. He said, well, I'm sorry. I said, oh, it's okay. I wanted you to ride in first class once, your first flight. When we got off the plane, he was waiting for me, and I bought him a cup of coffee. 15 minutes later, prayed the sinner's prayer and led him to the Lord. See, we can make things happen if we want to. When things don't go right, God's love should flow through you to make things happen, to touch somebody's life. Amen? I do it all the time. I may have told it here. I don't know what happened one time before I was here, but I was on the plane and nothing was happening. And that just bugs me when nothing is happening. I have to make something happen. I can't stand it when nothing's happening. And they upgraded me to first class. So I was sitting there in the seat and I asked the lady beside me, "You want to buy my yogurt?" She said, "No, I have yogurt." So I reared up in the seat and asked the two people behind me, "You guys want to buy my yogurt?" They said, "No, we have yogurt." And I asked the guy across the aisle, "You want to buy my yogurt?" And no, and I heard somebody say, "Why is that man selling his yogurt?" And the flight attendant came down the aisle. I said, "Do you want to buy my yogurt?" She said, "Buy your yogurt. Why are you selling the yogurt? We got all kinds of yogurt." I said, "Well, on the orange juice, it said drink for your health." So I drank it. On the yogurt, it said sell before July 10th. They don't want you to eat that stuff. That's just crappy stuff. And so anyway, I said, "You got 10 days. I believe you can sell it." And she laughed. And the guy across the aisle said, "That is really good. Why are you selling the yogurt?" I said, "I'll tell you later." And I finished eating my breakfast. You know, they got to wait. They can't go anywhere. They're hijacked. And so he's sitting over there. And finally, when I got done, I knelt in the seat. And he said, "That was really good. I like that selling yogurt thing." He said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." He said, "I'm going to start selling yogurt." Well, that's not the answer. The answer is to witness and share God's love. Amen? So I knelt in my seat and I gave my testimony of the power of God in my life and what God did for me. Everybody can do that. Anybody can talk to anybody. Isn't that true? We just have fun talking to people, winning people to the Lord. And I lead them to Christ and talk to them. And I number them. You've heard me tell it. I number people. Every year I have a certain amount of people I lead to Christ, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 300 people that I personally led to Christ. And so I told one guy, I said, "You're number 172. He said, "What does that mean?" I said, "You're the 172nd person I led to Christ this year, and I'm going to send you my book, God's Got Your Number. And then I'm going to put your number in there, 172. And I'll get your address." He gave me his address, and I send him the book. Then I call a pastor who lives in the area and have him check it out and win him to, you know, take him to church and so on. And I have a follow-up program I use, but God is good. I've had people call my office and say, "I've got to talk to Ken Gobb." They said, "Well, he's not here right now, but leave your number." He said, "I've got to talk to him. I'm number 172, and my wife's 173. And I have to talk to him." I don't remember who they are, but anyway, I just number them. I'm going to believe we can have fun winning souls. Amen. People are going to hell. It's not fun they're going to hell, but it's fun to win them. We are roadblocks on the road to hell. God is trying to use us with his love. God so loved the world that we should love those around us. We don't love what they do, but we love them. Isn't that true? And I think it's wonderful. God is touching us to touch lives. I've seen the Lord do some wonderful things. Your pastor, I want to say, was at the Idea Exchange with, what was his name, Rick. And they were at the Idea Exchange conference that I run every year in Florida. I want your pastor there every year because he was a... But we had a great time, and we had pastors of huge ministry, churches of 30,000 people and all kinds of things there we had to happen. Just wonderful things. We had David Gibbs there, who's a worldwide known attorney that's saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. He said his job was to keep me out of jail. And we had a lot of fun, didn't we? But I want to say your pastor was a great blessing there. And you know, I appreciate what I've learned. I've been coming to this church for, 50 years or something. But I appreciate Pastor Harris so very much and his associates. You are privileged to be under their leadership. Amen. Praise God. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. So we can believe God, but sometimes if our thinking is wrong, we have to change it. If it ain't right, think on these things, that good stuff. We have to think about these things, and I'm trying in my life to think on good things. They had a millionaire on TV, and they said, what happened? You were a multimillionaire, and you went broke. He said, well, I made some bad decisions, and that's why I went broke. But they said, you're an honest man, and now 6 months later, you're a millionaire again. How did that happen? He said, I changed my thinking. So, see, we have to change our thinking if it's not right. How many ever did something wrong and you knew it was wrong, but you need to change your thinking? Two people. It's a great church. But anyway, I was with my wife one day, and I knew I was going down the wrong road, but I didn't want to admit it. Did you ever do that? Same two people. And so I was going down the wrong road, and my wife said, this is not the right road. I said, I want you to see this area. You've never been in this area before, and I want you to see this so that you can remember you visited this area. And then finally, I knew I had to turn around, so I made a U-turn, turned around, and she said, you're going back. I told you you were wrong. I said, well, I want you to see it. Look at it good now, because this is the second time, and I don't want you to forget the area. You know, and I hated to admit I was wrong. You know, we are all that way. But God so loved us that he sent his son to die for us, that we could be saved. Jesus hung on that cross for us. I like that song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. How many praise God for that? And so we have to believe God and make right decisions and thank God for people that support their leadership in the church and believe God. This is a great church, always has been. And God is a good God, and he's trying to help us get the job done. It's your job to win this area for Christ. How many believe it is? We have to support that kind of belief and trust God and believe God's going to help us and get us through. He said, think on these things. So you say, well, what do when you have problems? Everybody faces something in life. We all face things. I had a son, as you know, 9 years ago, was killed in a motorcycle wreck. Wasn't happy about that. I was ticked off at God because I thought God could have done something different there. But I got over it. You don't want to stay ticked off at God for long. He'll pull your chain. You'll be gone. Amen? So and my wife passed away, and my brother died the other day. And, you know, we've all faced things. But how you react to what you face is important. What you're made out. You can put an egg in boiling water, and what happens? The egg gets hard. In that same water, you put a potato, and the potato gets soft in the same water. How we react. Sometimes we don't react right. Isn't that true? One time I was driving to my house, and this guy in the Volkswagen, the guy was over 100 years old. He had to be. And he's all over the road. And I'm talking to him, and I said, will you get out of the road, please? The speed limit is 55, not 20. And he's just fiddling around. I honked the horn. He couldn't hear. He's deaf. And so finally I found a place where I could pass him. And I laid on the horn, and he just smiled and waved, you know. I had a bad attitude. How many ever had a bad attitude? My wife sent me to the store one time to buy a tube of toothpaste. I won't ever forget that. And I went to the store and bought a tube of toothpaste. And there were just long lines of people everywhere. And they have those lines, you know, at the store. And I was there, and I had to clear my throat. And I went, and everybody got out of the way. You know, I found out how to clear a line now. It's really great. I was in the airport, and the guy said, will you back up, please? And I said, okay, I'm sorry. I backed up a couple feet. So it's supposed to be 6 feet apart. And then you get on the plane, and three people sitting on your lap. But, you know, it's just a crazy system. But anyway, I have more fun now. When I want to get in line, I just go... and they just get out of the line. The people just get scared because they have fear in their life about everything. Some people have not left their house in 2 years. They have groceries delivered. If you go to King County in Seattle right now, you have to have all the vaccinations and you have to have the booster and all that stuff. You got to show all that to buy gas. If you don't have it, you can't buy gas. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't get in. You can't go to Walmart. You can't do anything. You can't go to the bank. You cannot even have pizza delivered. You can't have food delivered to your house. And you can't go to an ATM and use it. And you cannot have anything. Like if you go through a drive-in, you have to have that stuff or you can't get any food. That's the kind of world we're living in now. Because people have fear in their lives. They haven't learned how to let God take care of them. Don't magnify the problems. God's bigger than any problem you'll ever have anyway. And God put a power in everyone in this building, and those that are watching, the pajama crowd, God put a power in us that is bigger than any power, any negative force that the devil would ever bring against you. And God will give you victory. God will give you answers if we think about good things. Amen? And that's what I'm trying to do. Set realistic goals. Say, I'm going to win somebody to Christ today. I'm going to witness to somebody. I'm going to do something. I'm going to believe God. My dad taught me, even as a kid, to pay tithe. I'm going to believe in tithing. I talked to a man the other day. He said, well, I times are so tough, I've quit tithing now. I said, well, you're going to hell then. If you don't pay tithe, you know that. It's in the Bible. Did you know that? Yeah, I got it. Well, not in this Bible, but my Bible's in there. Said, if you do not pay tithe, you're going to hell because there's no thieves in heaven. Is this mic on? Okay. So he said he couldn't pay tithe. I pay tithe no matter what. Amen. My dad, when somebody gave us a box of apples, we had to count them as kids to see how many apples we have and give 10% of them to the pastor. Yeah, we did that. My dad paid tithe. Somebody gave him a shirt or a suit. He paid tithe on it. Found out what it cost. Somebody gave him a car one time. He went and got it. Appraise, see what it's worth, paid tithe on it. I thought it was great till somebody gave me a car and I said, oh, brother, I got to do what my dad did. I had to pay tithe on this car he was giving me. But my dad taught me those kind of things. When you have God's love in your heart, you will listen to what God says. You will serve God. Amen? You'll put God first in your life and believe that God will help you. You never give up. When George Washington was president and fighting the British, you know the story? And the British outnumbered George Washington 10 to 1. George Washington said, but they don't have God. Amen. And even though he was outnumbered, we won the war. The British lost because they put God first in their life. That's what really happens when we think about the good things. God is going to see us through. God's going to help us. God's going to answer prayer. Jesus was on the cross. He was outnumbered. They didn't care about him. They wanted to put him to death. You know the story. But when he rose from the grave, hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he did. He knew what he was doing. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. Good thing he said Lazarus or the whole graveyard had got up. Amen. Wouldn't that been a sight? Said, what happened there? I don't know. He forgot to say the guy's name and they all got up. See, God has power. And he wants us with his love to share that power and love with other people and say, I'm going to win somebody to Christ. I'm going to believe God. I got to tell you, I was on a plane from... I've got a new book coming out. I wasn't planning on to write another book, but I'm writing it, and we're having pastors in the book. Pastor Harris doesn't know it, but he'll be in there too. You'll find out later. But anyway, God is a good God, and we got pastors in there. We're given the pastor's name and the church name and the miracle that happened to him. It's a book about miracles of God. That, have you ever heard people say, boy, that was a God thing? Have you ever heard that? That book is full of God things, good stuff. And so I'm writing this book, and I was going from Denver to Atlanta, and I sat down beside this man, and I was going to witness. So the first two, I teach timing with soul winning. People say, what do you do? I don't say I'm a preacher, because if they hate preachers, the ball game's over, and I can't win them. So I tell jokes and have fun with them, and I sitting there talking to this guy, and he said, do you fly a lot? I said, oh, yeah, I fly a lot. He said, whatever happened with the first flight? Oh, I said, the first flight, I spent the whole time in the restroom. He said, were you sick? I said, no. No, I wasn't sick, but every time I got up, a sign flashed, please return to seat. So I sat back down, stayed there the whole time. And I just had fun with him. He said, what do you do? And I said, I travel. Where do you travel? Everywhere. What do you do while you travel? I speak. What do you speak on? A lot of subjects. He said, who listens? I said, people. He said, who invites you? I said, people. I never told him nothing. But to tell you a little bit in advance, this man was from California, and he was moving to Georgia to be with his family. And he was a Christian, and he planned to lead me to Christ. And I planned to lead him to Christ. Neither one of us knew that at the time. It was like a Mexican standoff, I'll tell you, it was great. And so I couldn't find nothing out about him either. And finally, he was sitting there and he said, oh no. He said, God, not again, I don't want to do this. And I thought, he's talking to God, what is he doing? And he reached down his briefcase and pulled out a roll of bills that big around with a rubber band around and threw it in my lap and said, that's for you. I said, no, I didn't ask you for no money. I don't want any money. You know, I was going to lead him to Christ, but he was going to lead me to Christ. And I said, I don't want any money. He said, let me tell you something. When God tells you to do something, you better do it. I said, okay. He said, that's for you. God told me to give you all my cash. And he gave me that roll of bills. And I said, well, I really don't want to take it. He said, you have to take it, sir. Oh, he said, oh, I forgot this. He got his billfold out. He had a $10 bill in the back. He said, here's $10 more. He said, I forgot I had that. And he gave me that 10, threw it in my lap. I said, sir, I don't know what you're doing. And he said, well, and he said, 10 years ago, I was a renegade. He said, I didn't like God, I didn't like religion, nothing. And a guy got me to go to church in Tucson, Arizona. We went to Harold Warner's church, and I about fell over in the seat because I go to Harold Warner's church every year, for years. And he said, we went there. And he said, this guy got up and told jokes and stuff, and then he started preaching, and finally he gave an altar call, and he said about 20 of us went forward and gave our life to Jesus. He said that was Ken Gobb from Yakima, Washington. I said, I'm Ken Gobb. He said, no. I said, I am. And I took that mask, you know, the stupid thing that I wear in the airplane. I took that thing down. He said, oh, you are Ken Gobb. I said, I told you. And he was going to lead me to Christ. I was going to lead him to Christ. What a time we had. I tell you, God is a big God. And that story starts out about a God thing. There are God things that happen in your life. And if you listen to God, God will see you through. God will give you a miracle. How many believe that? The Bible said, think on these things. Let's think about the good stuff. You that are married, think about the good stuff. I tell people all the time now that if you're married, you've been married a few years, someday one of you will be gone. You know that's a fact. You won't both die on the same day, probably. And one of you will be gone. Think about the good things in your life. When I talked to 49,000 people on July the 4th, I told them, I don't care whether you believe this or not, but my wife and I had almost a perfect marriage. Never one time did she think about divorce. She thought about murder. But that was a different story. Yeah, she'd have killed me then. She'd have been out of jail now. But anyway, I think about stuff like that, you know. But I said, we were married almost 7 decades. Was in the ministry for 7 decades. And God took her home. God is a big God. And he cares about us. And I thank God that we can say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. I don't know why the Lord loves us sometimes. I don't know why. You know, if we got what we deserved, everyone in this room and those listening would die and go to hell. We would. But Jesus so loved us. That love flowed into our lives and our hearts. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. We got something to thank God for. Can you say an amen? Let's let the love of God flow through our life. Let's be a soul winner. Let's touch somebody's life. Let's buy somebody a cup of coffee. Let's buy somebody lunch. Let's do something. I think everybody can be a blessing to somebody around you if you want to be. Amen? That's what God's love is all about. I want you to bow your head for just a moment. While heads are bowed, I want you just to take a moment to thank God for your blessings. Can you do that? Just say, Lord, I thank you for blessing my life. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for our pastor and the associates here. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our life today. I give you praise and glory today. I honor you. Thank you, Jesus, for it. We love you, Jesus. We take a moment. This church thanks you, Lord, every day for your love. And I praise you for it. While heads are bowed and Christians are praying, if you're here and there's one thing in your life you say, before 3 o'clock this afternoon, I didn't know it, but maybe somebody would be gone. You probably won't be, but you could be. But you say, there's something in my life that would keep me out of heaven. I want you just to pray for me in this closing prayer. Would you just raise your hand so I can see it? See, I want God to help me. There's some things in my life that would keep me out of heaven. Pray for me. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless these hands that are raised. God is a big God. Thank you, Jesus. You that raise your hand, just stand where you are. I just want to pray for you right there. Just stand up right where you are. And if you see somebody standing, would you just, this is a friendly church. Go over and lay your hand on somebody's shoulder. Will you do that? Just take a moment. Just find somebody that's here. Here's a couple. Just find somebody and just pray for them right now and thank the Lord for their salvation. Lord Jesus, we come to you. You said if we come, you wouldn't turn us away. That means you accept us. Thank you, Jesus, right now for getting everything out of the road so these people can go to heaven when you call their number. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. We honor you, we praise you, and we accept you as Lord of our life. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. Come into our lives right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me ask while they're praying with them right now, would you, if there, you are here this morning, we got a second we can do this. If you're here and you face something in your life, spiritual, physical, financial, emotional, whatever, with your family, or a problem in the job or something, stand to your feet. Let's just ask God to help you. See, I believe God's going to help me. Amen. Just stand right where you are. We'll pray right now. Father, we thank you that you're real. We thank you, Lord, that when we face problems, you are bigger than any problem. The devil is a liar. And we thank you, Lord, that we are victorious. And that the things that we face, you will help us. I thank you, Lord, for healing my ankle. I thank you, Lord, for helping me. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in every life today. I give you praise today, Lord. We're your children. This is your church. This is not our church. This is your church. And we thank you for it. We thank you for Pastor Harris, Lord, and his associates so very much. We give you praise today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. How many believe God heard us? You may be seated. Give the Lord a good hand of praise today. Wait a minute. You have ball games here in this town, don't you? If you have basketball, and when your team is losing, and somebody in the last second throws a basket, and you win, is that the way you clap? You say, yeah, that's really nice. I'm glad for that. Our team finally won. I'm going to go buy some popcorn. You don't do that. You scream and holler and jam ice cream in somebody's face. I mean, that's what you do. Give the Lord a good hand of praise. Pastor Harold, God bless you.
Amen. Wonderful. Amen. He's always a pleasure. Amen. I'm glad you didn't jump down these stairs, Ken. Thank you. No, that's absolutely wonderful. Thank you. It's always a pleasure to have him. One of the things that I want to encourage him was about soul winning and preaching on that. So you did fantastic. Wonderful. It's so important. There's an opportunity. He goes all over, like I announced before he came, all over the entire world. And he speaks to churches our size, churches a thousand times bigger than us. But he's going all over, and he has a great ministry, and he tells a lot of people about Christ, and he's led, I don't even know how many tours now to Israel, over 150, because the information I had was about a year old. So he's taking all these people to the Holy Land and all these great ministries. So we want to take an opportunity. We don't do this very often at First Open Bible, but I want us to have an opportunity to give to the ministry, to pour into that, to put a seed into that ministry. So there's an opportunity for you to do that. There's an envelope that's in front of you if you're sitting in the pews, or if you're in the front, it's behind you. You need to mark on there special speaker or Ken Gobb. Otherwise, it will go to our general tithes and offerings if it's not marked specifically. If you're online and you want to give online, there's a drop-down menu that says guest speaker. This will all go to Ken and his ministry. And there's, yeah, if you need another one, there's envelopes on these, I guess, I don't know, things on the wall, right? These little shelves. If you need one, feel free to grab one. We'd love for you to do that. And Doug is one of our elders. If you need one, he's holding them up. Just go ahead and raise your hand. We'll give you one of those. But I want to pray. Worship team, will you come back up right now? If you want to give, feel free to give on your way up, or have your family member, whoever, give. But this is an opportunity to give into this. And I love that. Man, that was really, really strong. But that's what I love. You say a lot of stuff that I want to say that I didn't. And you said it for me. It was super cool. I love that about, because you're not wrong, right? People that are not givers go to hell because you are a thief. And the Bible says that 10% is his, right? Give to him those things. That's a tithe. And actually, if you go New Testament, you're supposed to give sacrificially, which could be beyond 10%. So however it is. But I'm telling you, givers are the most blessed, happiest, joyful people in the world. When I met my wife, I was not a giver. I was very stingy. I held on to things a lot. My wife has taught me to give. And now I don't have problems giving, right? If I got to figure it out later, I'll figure it out later. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. So please, if you want to, give to this. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty on it, but I want to encourage you to be a giver. I'm telling you, when you give, right? Last thing I'll say, and then we're going to pray. Anybody in here ever given something that God has said in their life, or has been a tither in their life and seen absolute incredible miracles of provision or other financial blessings? If that's you, will you just raise your hand right now? Look around real quick. Don't put your hand down. Literally so many people, right? It works. Do I understand it? Absolutely not. Why does God need my money? He doesn't. I need to give my money to God, right? He doesn't need my money, right? He doesn't need that. His where he lives, the floor is gold, right? So he don't need my money. We need to give. It's always about our heart. So be a giver. Be a giver. Amen. Amen. Church, will you stand, please? As I'm done praying, feel free to come and give your tithes and offerings to the front here. We also have one in the foyer. Or if you're online, you can give online. We have text to give. We have all these different opportunities to go to our website, give. We have an app, First Open Bible app. You can click on give there. It brings you to a website where you can then give. However you want to do it, please give. And then Ken's going to be out there if you want to talk to him, thank him. He has books and CDs and a whole bunch of stuff. Feel free to see him. He comes about once a year, but it's just a blessing. It's good to laugh. The Bible says it's a medicine to our soul. Amen? Anybody get some medicine today, right? Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you. We've said this over and over again this morning, but I want to continue it. God, you're a good God, and you give good gifts. And now we have an opportunity to give back. Lord, we don't deserve all the things you give us. We have shoes on our feet. We drove in a car. We have clothes on our back. We have food to eat. Some of us eat too much food, including myself, God. We have so much abundance that we don't even know. Thank you for just everything we take for granted. You're an amazing God, and you give us so much. You give us relationships. You give us friendships and family. You give us a church that loves God and loves people. God, that you give us things that even in the worst times of our life, we still have blessings all around us. It's just such a blessing to know you. God, I pray that whatever we're about to pour into ministry, whatever we're about to pour into the church, or whatever it is the opportunity that we have to give right now, God, may it be a blessing to someone. It says in your word that we are blessed to be a blessing. So may we give out of our blessed selves today to be a blessing. And just like he said, and I've said many times before, give us an opportunity physically to give so we can open up a spiritual opportunity. I pray before we lay our heads down tonight, all of us have an opportunity that we will be able to share the gospel or the love of Jesus to someone that we might not know or someone we do know. God, give us the boldness of the Holy Spirit to follow through and to do that. Lord, I pray this be a blessing to you and your heart. And we love you. We thank you as we go. May we change the world because the world changer lives in us. We love you. We worship you. If you agree with that, will you say amen? Amen. Please come and give if you'd like, or we're going to worship and then go.